Okay, good morning. Let's begin with the word of prayer. We have a lot to cover this morning, so let's get right to it. So let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. What a joy it is to study the word of God, to concentrate, Heavenly Father, on what you're doing in history and what you will be doing in history. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, let's begin with song.
The hymn, Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord, Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord, is number 330. Hymn number 330. If you have a hymnal nearby, please join me. Scripture reading is from Psalm 93. The Lord reigns, He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed and girded Himself with strength. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Your throne is established from of old, or from the everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lifted up their pounding waves. More than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. All right, let's continue with hymn number 325. Would you turn with me to Footsteps of Jesus, 325.
Footprints falling, lead us to
we have a wonderful visit.
Visitor.
We have a wonderful visitor here this morning, but she's not new. She's been here before, but introduce us, Kit.
I'm Katerina, a niece from Athens, going to college, learning about grapes and vines and wine.
Well, Kat, we're happy to have you here this morning, and it's so interesting. I just found out that her dad and her grandfather went to the Olympics. And so I asked her, I said, well, wait a minute, why weren't you at the Olympics? And so that just wasn't her deal. But so that's right. And she lives in Athens, and the Acropolis is, you can see it from your house. It's right there. That's got to be something really good. Wow. That's got to be unbelievable.
We're all invited.
Well, let's put it this way. It's a lot more than I see at mine. That's wonderful. All right. Let's see. We need to be in prayer for my wife. She's just not doing well at all. So please be in prayer for her. And let's see, anybody else do we need? Yes.
Yes. Journeying Mercies for Jay, Lori, and Elle. They're on their way to Florida. They left at 4 o'clock this morning. It's a 14-hour drive, so that's a long drive. So just that they get there and back safely.
Why do they want to get up that early?
No, because it takes so long to drive here.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll be in prayer.
Thank you.
Who else we need to be in prayer? Yes, sir.
Juan Fernandez used to, when he lived close by, he would come occasionally, Puerto Rican guy.
Yeah.
His mother is very, very ill, and he wrote and asked for prayers for his mother. Juan Fernandez's mother.
Do we know if she's a believer?
She is not, apparently, because he's praying for her salvation as well.
Okay.
As help.
Then we will join with him in prayer for her salvation.
And if I may, one more. Brother Linus in Nigeria, brought up many times. His wife is, by the way, recovered. She had malaria and another African disease, and she's not in the hospital, not completely out of it, but is fairly recovered.
Good.
Brother Linus is his mission is to all the little tiny villages around the city where he lives, and he goes. He'll get up at 4 in the morning and ride a little motorcycle for like 50 miles out to these little remote villages. He'll go to the surrounding villages and bring people so that they can all come to church, and establishes church in some of these little villages and helps the widows and orphans. He desperately needs some reliable transportation. And I'm going to be, if you know me on Facebook, you'll see a request there. If you make a donation to the church and say for Linus, they'll put it in the fund for us. But hopefully, I would love to raise $6,000, but whatever we can give him toward the purchase of a used van he's got.
Used van, okay. Tell him
about the van.
He got his wife actually inherited a little parcel of land. It's not like house size; it's like garden size parcel of land. And he's preparing to sell that piece of land so that he can get the transportation he needs to deliver.
Well, we'll see if we can help.
And I've got a picture of him and two other guys on this motorcycle, and he's driving the motorcycle, and the guy in the middle has a one milk crate on top of the other, filled with food and supplies for the for villagers. And the guy on the back of the motorcycle's got a box full of Bibles.
All right.
And they went 50 kilometers on a motorcycle.
Well, let's be in prayer for him, especially. My goodness. Got to get them Bibles there.
And you got to imagine.
Yes, I will. And he also has a ministry to orphans in the city that he lives in.
Okay.
I'll
be in prayer that those Bibles get there and they get to read and study them. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Keep us posted.
I will, sir.
All right. Who, anything else? Yes.
Continued prayer for my wife's sister, Joanna, for her surgery for the aneurysm. The doctors, they need some encouragement to get their team together quickly.
But still nothing.
Spark, I don't know. Do you know anything more about Joanna?
How's your aunt doing, hon?
She's doing fine. She doesn't know exactly how bad it is. But she thinks it's okay. So we're fine right now. Just hope that the doctors be faster.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. We'll continue being in prayer. Thank you. And one over here, yes.
Just pray for our trip to California. Paige and Pete and Yvonne are good friends. Y'all know we got to see them, which we haven't seen them in years. So just praise, just answer prayer. Just God bless the whole trip. Just they're doing. They seem so happy and just at peace. And they're in Monterey, California, is where they're living right now. Pete and Yvonne. And have a church there, and they just continue to be faithful servants of the Lord. And then Paige, their daughter that got married, it was just a beautiful ceremony. And if you guys just remember, they lost their son several years ago, that's Cameron's friend. But just seeing that God has given them a son through Paige's marriage, and they're just continue to praise God for his.
Okay.
And just want to also ask for prayers. For travel for Ben's still in Sweden. He's there next Saturday. So just ask.
Did he get there okay?
He got there. Apparently he's having a great time. So
good.
Continue to pray. Safety.
Well, if he got there, then he's going to have a great time.
He's having a great time, comes back. And then our niece, Jamie, who's been in Italy, we were praying for. She's on her way home now from Italy.
Italy,
so
okay.
She's coming tonight at 9:45 to Dallas. Mm-hmm. So just praying for all those travel mercies.
It's going to be very international here. Greece, Italy, Switzerland.
It's a global outreach.
Very good. All right. Yes.
Praise report for Kathy Martin and Tyson and Heather Hess. They have got home safely, and I'll see Kathy this afternoon.
They did get home safely?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right. I got to call him, talk to him. Very good. All right. Yes.
Travel for Larry and Brian and family there in Mexico. Coming back Wednesday.
They just go there a lot now, man.
We're on dual citizen.
I will be in prayer. Very good. All right. Anything, anyone else? All right. People, we need to be in prayer for each other, and we need to be in prayer for our outreaches and the young people here getting ready. What's the next thing that will happen? This is July, but what's the next thing?
Well, we're working on plans and schedules for the breakthrough event, which is the college, and then the slam, which is the high schoolers, and then working on being prepared for our camp schedule for next year, because things get moved around, and the camp is getting, which is great for them, is getting incredibly busy. The facilities that we borrow, that we rent, and so just be in prayer for God to work all that out for us, and it makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is there any chance we wouldn't get a room, get a place?
That would be very low probability. In fact, we've worked with them very closely, and they love us.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's a matter of, can we get one that is in the timing that doesn't conflict with a bunch of other stuff?
Okay.
So that's right. And we'll work it out.
And the amount of people.
Yeah, and the amount of people that we want to have. So.
Okay, we'll pray God we don't want any confusion and conflicts on our schedules.
Yeah, and one of the things that, just so that everybody knows, this year we cut it back to a 4-day event instead of 5, which is our normal time. because there's a contract that we have to sign with the camp that's for, if you're going to do 5 days, you have to have 150 people. In the last couple of years, our head count has gone down.
Yep.
The campers come in, and we have plenty of staff, which is part of the ministry as well.
Yep.
Be in prayer, because we're wanting to go back to the five,
yeah.
And that's a financial commitment for 150 people,
okay.
Which is, you know, God knows who needs to be there. So that's the prayer, is God bring them. So.
Do they ever miss us back up there where we used to go up there in Texarkana?
I would venture to say they're probably pretty full as well.
Okay.
Well, post-COVID, everybody wants to come back to camp. So I don't know that for sure. But.
Okay. All right. So let's go into prayer, praying for our outreach in the internet and young people and the things that we do here and meeting with others about the gospel and about the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. How grateful we are for the opportunity and the privilege to tell others of Jesus Christ, to tell others about who and what Christ is and what Christ has done. We pray, Father, you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give. Continue to use these offerings to the honor and glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.
Back a little ways, about 20 years or so probably, to number 490. Would you join me in singing 490, "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand"?
Here we have a handout for this morning. I was looking in Revelation chapter 1. It was about almost 6 months last time I spent this time on chapter 1. But we'll do it in one night or one morning. So let's get to work on it with the Word of God and a word of prayer. Let us pray. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for the Word of God. Now, Father, we're looking at revelation of things that are, things that have already taken place. So we pray that you'll guide us as we look at chapter 1. Pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. All right. Things you've seen. Revelation of Jesus. First thing that I want you to note is it's in the singular. Some people always say revelations. No, it's not revelations. It's revelation. One, Jesus Christ. All right, one. The revealing apocalypse means revelation, uncovering, unrevealing, disclosure, manifestation. This is what the book is about. It's about Jesus Christ being revealed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope that we are waiting for that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. Again, talking about Jesus Christ coming back. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, here is the end of the church at the becoming of Jesus Christ, where we will be seeing the ending of the church in chapters 2 and 3. That you are waiting eagerly for the revelation of Jesus Christ. When the Lord will be revealed, ready to give praise and glory and honor at His revelation, for the grace to be brought to you at the revelation. Now, I got this from Ben Toe. We'll give you his name down here, but I just started to put it down. Jesus reveals Himself to us, Revelation 1 through 3. Jesus reveals, Jesus gives, Jesus commissions, Jesus stands, and Jesus consoles. Jesus is the one who reveals Himself to us, Revelation 1:1-3. Jesus gives Himself to mankind, Revelation 1:4-8. Jesus commissions us, Revelation 1:9-11. And then Jesus stands with us, Revelation 1:12-16. And then finally, Jesus consoles us and inspires us, Revelation 1:17-11. Now, one, God blesses us by giving Jesus to us. That's the first thing I want you to know. And then, let's see, I think I have the second thing I want you to know. The first one, God blesses us by giving Jesus to us. Two, God loves through Jesus Christ, verses 4 through 8. And then the last one is God is with us through Jesus, 9 through 20. So let's go back to number 1. God blesses us by giving Jesus to us, verses 1 through 3. Verse 1, the revealing of Jesus, which God gave to him, the things which soon take place are to make known. God gave the things to Jesus, not to John. These are given to Jesus. And John nearly is going to record them. Now, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to us, to his bond servants, the things which must soon take place. And soon has already been 2,000 years. But for Jesus Christ, that's nothing. But that would be the thing. All right, and he sent and communicated it by his angels to his bondservant John. Now, verse 2. John is eyewitness to the word of God and testimony of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 2. Who satisfied to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. What does John bear witness of? I asked that question. He did to three things: to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all that he saw. Those are the things that John will draw witness to. Now, 1:3. Okay. Hear and keep this word. It is to your spiritual blessing to read the book of Revelation as often as possible. Why study the book of Revelation? Why study it? Especially since we will not even be here in most of what's going to be recorded. We're going to be in heaven when it's recorded. Okay, so here's why we want to study Revelation. First, 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be absolute equipped for every good work. So that's the first reason. Secondly, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of prophecy and heed the things which are written in, for the time is near. We should desire to know this book, for through it is a blessing. It is the knowing and living in accordance with this word. The third reason we want to study Revelation: we will be right here in heaven for most of this book. So while we're not in earth, we will still be involved in it. Fourth, the understanding of Revelation will cause us to live our lives to glorify Jesus Christ as it caused our heroes in Hebrews chapter 11 and James chapter 5 verse 8. You too, be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Fifth reason why we want to study it. The book of Revelation will encourage to assemble ourselves together for others in worship. Now, I'm going to still encourage you, those of you that are not coming to church. Now, if you're going to some other church, that's another issue. But if you're not, you should be back worshiping with those here. Now, sixth reason for studying and reading the book of Revelation. It will enrich our lives to taking communion. And take communion, we are to be to do this in remembrance of Him until He comes. That's from 1 Corinthians 11. The ninth reason for studying the book of Revelation, it will encourage to tell others of Jesus Christ and not to judge one another. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes. So we're not to judge one another. Just let the Lord take care of that. All right. Seven blessings in Revelation. Seven blessings in Revelation. One, in our passage, blessing of reading, hearing, and heeding to the book. Secondly, chapter 14, verse 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. 3, chapter 16, verse 15, blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments. Now, what in the world does that matter mean? Well, we'll be studying that. All right, 4, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's our supper. That's our marriage when we are married with Christ. Chapter 19, verse 9. Blessed, 5, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. That refers to all believers in the church age. Chapter 20, verse 6. Now, 6, blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. Just let me repeat that. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. You want blessing? Here it is. And then finally, 7, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Chapter 22, verse 14. Now, second major thing. God loves through Jesus. God loves all of us through Jesus. Chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Now, chapter 1, verse 4. John the Apostle wrote of the seven churches. He was sent away from Ephesus as an official punishment during the reign of Domitian, who was the brother, by the way, of Titus, who destroyed Jerusalem. So they're all involved here. Eusebius, the great church historian, wrote, Domitian, instead, indeed, having has exercised his cruelty against many and unjustly slain no small number of nobles and illustrious men of Rome with exit. At length established himself as successor of Nero. Now listen, and he was the hater and hostility of God. Continuing, but after Domitian had reigned for 15 years, he was murdered in 96 AD. The Roman Senate decreed that the honors of Lucretia should be revolted, and that those who had been unjustly expelled should return to their homes and have their goods restored. This is the statement of the historian of the day. It was then also that the Apostle John returned from his banishment in Patmos and took us to his abode at Ephesus, according to the ancient tradition of the church, and continued with them.
Take a sip of water.
Okay. I continue until Trajan. Now, 1:4, chapter 1, verse 4. God, or John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Now, who is being spoken of here? Is it going to be Jesus Christ? I hope you get this clear. No. This was referred to God the Father. So let's just turn, re-say that so that you get what, clear what's going on. Verse 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to become, from the seven spirits and who are before his throne. This is talking about God the Father. He who is independent, existence, unchangeable. To he who was, his existence and control of the past. The he who is to come, he is knowledge and control of the future. So any question here? This is a reference to God the Father. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus Christ, and his introduction, Jesus Christ, who died, rose, loves us, and released us of our sins. Jesus Christ has been mentioned three times already, and we're just in chapter 4, verse 4. Christ is looking and redeemed mankind from his blood. Now, verse 5. And, now you got God the Father in chapter 4 and verse 4. Then you go to verse 5. And from Jesus Christ. Do you see the difference? Chapter verse 4 was the Father. Chapter 5, verse 4, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and relieves us from our sins by his blood. Now, let's go to verse 6. By the way, as I go through, you got any question, raise your hand. Verse 6. We are kingdom and priest, but it is not like an earthly kingdom with boundaries, controlled populations, but it is populated by those who have been freed from their sins through the death of Christ, and those who live joyfully serve Jesus Christ. The kingdom is a priest and everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. We, right here, pray to God for the world and come to the world to witness what God has done for them. Note carefully that God is characterized by his relationship to Jesus Christ. So let me read that a bit again. Now, carefully note that God is characterized by his relationship to Christ, he and his Father, and not to us involved. All right, verse 6. And he who has made us to be kingdom priest to the God, to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, chapter 1, verses 6 to 7, the theme of the book of Revelation. It's what the whole book is about, verses 7 and 8. Here is what all the seals, the trumpets, the bowls lead to revealing. His coming. 1:7, he is coming. This is one of the primary teaching of the entire book. Look at Revelation 22:20. I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly. Now, in Florida, she and I will say that to each other a lot.
Phyllis.
Say to each other a lot that after we get through talking about something involving the come quickly, Lord. All right. John proclaims Jesus as coming as he left that day in Acts 1 in the clouds, like the Son of Man in Daniel 7:13, all in the clouds. Clouds are declared as his chariot in Psalm 104:5. In this wording, we can think of Jesus as returning in triumph, riding in a cloud. We can see our verse, both the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the second coming of Christ in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, so that they will look at me whom they pierced. His crucifixion, and they mourn for him like one mourning for his only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over the firstborn. This describes his return. Now, chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierce him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn him. So it is to be. Amen. Okay, question. Who pierced him? Who pierced him? Not Israel, not the church. It was Rome. John 19:34. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. But the Jews were behind his death. John 19:36-37. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. The Jews whom they pierced. Also read sometime Isaiah 53:1-8. Now, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the Alpha and Omega, the who is, and he who was, and he is to come. Verse 1, or verse 8. I am the Alpha and he and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Nine times he is called the Almighty, and only once in the rest of the Bible. So here's the place of that emphasis. Now, three is the next area of great concern. God is what is with us through Jesus. God is with us through Jesus, John 9:20. The first vision, 9:20, makes two parts. First, he is commanded to write. And the second, he saw the glorious Lord. Now, verses 9-11. John and what happened to him. Verses 9-11. John and what happened to him. The command to write. 9-11. John begins by disclaiming, and this is beautiful, he is disclaiming right from the beginning that he, the Holy Spirit is the one teaching, and every pastor should have the same attitude. It's not about me, it's about the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 9. He writes, first, in his relationship with his brother, and his reminder to them that all that he shares with them in suffering, with all of us in suffering. Verse 9. I, John, your brother, basis of our brotherhood, our birth. We are related by a new birth, everyone here. And fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And I love that. We know that he was there out of suffering and all, but he knows why he was there. And every one of us can say this, but especially every pastor. Yes.
Martha has a question. She asks, will everyone see his coming return in the clouds or only the Christians?
Everyone. Yep. Okay, 1:10, the Lord's Day. Now, here's a problem. And I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but here it is. The Lord's Day, as in chapters 4 through 19. He is reminding them of the Holy Spirit three other times in Revelation. The Lord's Day is referred to but once in the New Testament It may refer to the first day of the week, but most likely to refers to what this book is about. Not about the first day of the week, but about what this book is about, which is referred to as the Lord's Day, as the doing of the Lord in this day. Day of the Lord includes the time and events from the beginning of God, of God's shelter, of God's dealing with Israel, including the tribulation, second advent, millennium, to the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. That is the day of the Lord, covers the book of Revelation. That about covers it right there. The day of the Lord covers the book Revelation. All the visions of John. John is taken into the day of the Lord and sees all this right there. So that's what the day of the Lord refers to. Any question? Okay. 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard, excuse me, I don't know what's wrong, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. 1:11. Jesus tells John what to write, and to write to the seven churches. What to write, and that he is to write to the seven churches, saying, write in a book what you see, and sending it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, and Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. The vision of the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, verses 11 through 20. Now, 12, seven golden lampstands. Look at verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and helping, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. Seven golden lampstands. All this refers to the seeing of Jesus Christ. 1:11 through 16, entrance to portraits of Christ. Verses 11 through 16 refer to portraits of Jesus Christ. And what I did here, I first of all just zipped them down over the front, then we'll go back and look at them. 1, Son of Man. 2, Jesus Christ, robe and sash. 3, Jesus' white hair. 4, Jesus' eyes blazing like fire. 5, Jesus' burnished feet. 6, Jesus' thundering voice. 7, Jesus' stars in his hands. 8, Jesus' sharp sword. And 9, Jesus' brilliant face. Now let's go back and look at it. I, Son of Man. That's the first one, Son of Man. Verse 13, used of Christ himself 83 times, the phrase Son of Man. 1:13, and in the middle of the lampstand, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. The lampstand here are the seven churches. The robe reaches the feet, is marked of the person of distinction in the Bible. Secondly, Jesus' priestly robe and sash, 1:13, clothed as priest, mediator, king of his righteousness, Hebrews chapter 4:15, For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Third, Jesus' white hair. Now this one's fun. Jesus' white hair. Wisdom, denoting wisdom, purity, and eternity. 1:14, his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow, and his eyes, well, let's come to that one next. So, let's take a look. Proverbs 16:31. This is cool. Proverbs 16:31. A gray head is a crown of glory. Amen. Alright. It is found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 20:29. Now this one is wonderful. The glory of a young man is to his strength, and the honor of an old man is his gray hair. So see hair, see kid, we were honored. All right. Referring to Jesus, Dan chapter 7, verse 9, I kept looking until thrones were set up and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool, and his throne was blazed with flames. Its will were a burning fire. In John, vision had the same white as wool hair as the ones I read now. Now the fourth one. Jesus' eyes blazed like fire. 1:14, also Hebrews 4:13. Five, Jesus' burnished feet. 1:15. Isaiah 63:1-4. 1:15, his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. Therefore, we come to 6, Jesus' thundering voice. He speaks to all people. Psalm 93:3. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up your voice, their voice. The floods, like pounded waves. More than the sounds of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea. The Lord, on high and mighty. 5, verse 5, your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, furthermore. Revelation 16:9, then I heard someone like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of men of mighty perils of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Now, 7, Jesus stars in his hand. Jesus stars in his hand. Chapter 1:16, eternal security. John 10:28-29, chapter 1:16 says, in his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came the sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. Seven stars reveals seven angels of the seven churches. Now, being held in his right hand, speaks of the fact that the churches indicate favor and protection. Now, 8. Jesus' sharp sword. Verse 16, and in second sword, given in Hebrews chapter 4, 13 and 15. And finally, 9, Jesus' brilliant face. 116, Acts chapter 26, verse 13. Now let's look at chapter 1, verse 17. I got it. John fell at the feet of the Lord. I-17 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, like him being the one dead, and his place, his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Now, this took quite a length of time in my notes years ago, but what I'm going to do here is just exemplify and show you a couple of things. When I saw him, I saw his feet like a dead man. Now, like a dead man is very important throughout the Bible. Whenever the dead man is used, it's as though it is totally up to the Lord, but that's what that is. Now, never forget 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but affection cast out fear. Here is a man who was afraid when he saw Jesus walking on water and was told to stop fearing. Here's a man who was afraid of a violent storm of sea, and this same one calmed the storm with his voice. He is the man who was afraid when he heard the voice of God. But now again, John hears that same voice beckon him not be afraid. And now the voice identifies itself. And by that identity, John's fear is calmed, as that were done, as done in the past. Verse 18, Jesus with the keys. K-E-Y-S, keys. Philippians 2, 5-11. Two compartments. One of the lost, one of believers. 1:18, and the living one, and one and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of Hades. Hebrew, the victory over death means wonderful in many parts of the world today. John held these words of Jesus Christ when he was a disciple of the Lord. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of the world, the man. And of course, there is the wonderful verse of John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Having the keys is symbolized with authority. And Jesus has the authority of death and Hades. Jesus Jesus had the authority to send people to death and to Hades, or deliver them from Hades into eternal life. This is the authority that Jesus had. Now, verse 19 of chapter 1. The things which you have seen, chapter 1, the things which are, chapters 2 and 3, and the things which shall come to pass, chapters 4 through 22. I 13, therefore, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. The command to write of verse 11 is repeated now in our verse 19, but with much more involvement. Believers have always been interested in things that will come, things that will come about. Even non-believers still concerned about what things are going to happen. This is especially true today, where many are too interested in the rapture and the tribulation and the millennium and eternity. It is for this reason that John wrote this book, and this is the reason that we're going to study it. Verse 20, for as for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in your right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now, mystery refers to things that man cannot understand, nor will understand without Jesus Christ's help. Now, let's explain angels. The word angels refers to messengers and can refer to humans as well as to the angels in heaven, upper. As in Luke 7:24 and Luke 9:52, angels refers there to messengers, refers to human beings. But it's used in chapter 2 and 3. It can refer to angels, or it can refer to humans as pastors or teachers in these churches. So this is not for sure which one it is. It can be whichever one. Now, in closing, about Jesus Christ in Revelation. So this is what we learn about Christ so much in chapter 1. Revealed, he is revealed in the book of Revelation. 2, the faithful witness of God, the Father. 3, the firstborn of the dead and his resurrection. 4, the ruler of all kings of the earth. I love number 5, he loves us. He loves you. 6, liberated us from sin, from all sins, by his death. 7, he made us to be a king of priests. 8, given glory and dominion from God the Father forever. 9, he is coming back in the clouds. 10, he is the Alpha and the Omega. 11, he is the He who is, and the He who was, and the He who is coming. He is described exactly as God the Father, for they are exactly equal in himself. 12, he is both Lord of God. He is your Lord, your God, your Father. 13, he is the Almighty. I love that one. 14, love them all, but 14, his voice can sound like a sound of trumpet, and like the sound of many waters. 15, he is the first and the last. 16, he is the living one. 17, he was dead but rose and alive evermore. And 18, he has the key of death and of Hades. So, next Sunday we begin with chapters 2 and 3. I don't know. I really don't know if we're going to do just... I think we'll just do one chapter next Sunday if we're able to do that. Laura wants to do more, wants to take some good time on that and get it understood, so we got to do that. All right, let's close now in prayer. We bow down before you. We praise you as our God. We stand up, Heavenly Father, before our Savior, our friend, Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for the things that are going to happen, that he will be in authority. He will be the one in charge. We pray, Father, you will take the things we've seen this morning, glorify us, edify us, strengthen us to know these things. Encourage us to study the word of Revelation over and over, again and again, to know what is going on. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake and glory. Amen.